podcast is brought to you by Inventory, who are renowned for their global leadership in intelligent inventory management solutions. They specialise in providing comprehensive supply chain solutions that optimise inventory management and asset tracking. Whether you are looking to increase productivity, reduce costs, or change your processes through digital transformation, Inventory can help. Their solutions range from industrial vending and point-of-use reordering to van fleet stock control. These are all supported by integrated cloud-based software. We hope you enjoy this podcast. Inventory's disruptive innovation in the intelligent inventory management sector has been enabled through its relationship with PP Control and Automation. They're an award-winning provider of strategic outsourcing solutions to many of the most successful and respected machinery builders worldwide. Based at its manufacturing site in Walsall in the UK, it is one of the largest independent suppliers of control and automation solutions in Europe. In this podcast, we talk to their chief executive, Tony Haig, and Dean Henry, CEO of Inventory, about how they innovate faster, working together, and how they give end users of the Inventory equipment a far better product. Hi, Dean. Hi, Tony. How are you both doing?
Very well. Good afternoon.
Great. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, it's good to see you both. And a very hot day today as well. It's supposed to be the hottest day of the year, I think, isn't it?
It's a scorcher, isn't it?
Yeah, about time to. It's only August.
Yeah. It'll be autumn tomorrow. So now you guys have been working together for how long is it now?
It's a few years, actually, isn't it, Tony?
I'm just trying to think now. I would say it's certainly we've done the decade plus, I would say now.
I think it's over 10 now.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Dean was in short trousers though, wasn't he?
I think he still is.
It is warm today.
Oh, so what brought you together? And I mean, for you, Dean, what was the advantages of starting to work with PPC and A?
We were developing products and we needed somebody that could actually make them for us because we decided that that wasn't going to be competent for our business. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Tony, but I think we sent Dave Small out on a scouting exercise to have a look for a very good contract manufacturer.
That's right.
And he came up with Tony and PP. And they just ticked all the boxes in terms of capability and size for us. And to be fair, they're quite a friendly bunch too. So we sort of hit it off.
Yeah, not sure about Tony. Yeah.
No, apart from me, yeah.
In terms of advantages, they very simply allow us to outsource our manufacturing. And that allows us to concentrate on what we do best, which, you know, we can stick to our knitting, which is sort of focusing on development of disruptive solutions. That in itself differentiates us in our marketplace.
Dean, it is quite unusual to not go to China these days or somewhere in the Far East. I mean, Tony's, what, up the road, sort of north of Wolverhampton. I mean, that's so unusual to go so close to home. Oh, and you can get things made cheaper. And I'm sorry, Tony, I'm going to say this.
Don't you worry.
You can get stuff made cheaper elsewhere.
I would say not always cheaper, funnily enough.
Yeah. So why didn't you do that like everybody else?
Well, I used to be the president of the Electrical Distributors Association, and we spent quite a lot of time combating counterfeit products. And when you're an intellectual property business like we are, you know, we're a knowledge-based IP business, that's quite a significant concern for us. You know, there are other issues around quality and managing that from a distance, and lengthy supply chains is also a problem. And the agility of the supply chain is really key when you're trying to get market fit, because you need feedback from the market quite quickly and need to be able to move the product quickly. And we felt we needed somebody more local to do that.
And you really think that did work for you?
I mean, one of the other advantages of dealing with Tony is that he's got supply chain partners in the Man Group and he introduced us to those as well. So, you know, I came from a distribution background. I didn't come from a manufacturing background, although some of my people did. But that introduction into people like Grove for design, Grove do our a lot of our hardware design. They do firmware for us. They do packaging design. They do test rig design in conjunction with PP and even map the production process for testing. We also got introduced to CMAC for PCB production. They actually make some of the PCBs for our vending machines, but they also make some of our IoT devices and assemble our IoT devices from scratch. So it's been a really good relationship for us because we've tapped into other relationships as well.
I mean, the bit that's interesting me there is the fact that you weren't a manufacturer. And by coming to Tony, he's set all these links up for you, all these networks. So you didn't need to be a manufacturer. He's brought all that skill to the party. Am I right in understanding that?
His business and their skill set allow us to be a complete provider. So they're an extension of our business, really. They extend our capability. And the quality is really important. You know, we'd have to invest an enormous amount of money to be able to get to where PPR, even if we could manage it. And it's just not good use of time and effort for us, that.
Oh, I'm finding this really interesting because I have this long list of things that I've always thought I'd like to make, but because I never did manufacturing, no idea how to go about any of it. So I'll be dropping in, Tony, with my ideas. But Tony, I mean, for you, what's the advantage of being local with your clients, and why do you think you're better than going to China?
I think when you talk about local, you have to define what local means. So in the case of PP and inventory, local is literally 30 minutes apart. You know, we don't need to be quite that local, though it's great that we are. I think there's just a trend nowadays away from you. You mentioned people go to China because it's cheaper. Yes, certain goods are manufactured in high volume in not just China, but other LCGs around the globe, and that can suit. But in manufacturing, even in sort of medium volume manufacturing, where you need that responsiveness, that agility, and you're looking at total cost of acquisition, looking at risk management strategies, you know, the old days of thinking the streets of Shenzhen are paved with gold, you know, everybody was going out to Shenzhen and the surrounding areas thinking that was the answer to all of their questions. I mean, that's been disproven a long time ago, even before COVID, which equally got companies questioning their supply chain strategies. We see even more of a push towards reshoring and nearshoring. So I think it just depends on fit for purpose. You know, China, other LCGs are exactly the right place to manufacture certain products. And we all take advantage of that, certainly with consumer goods. You know, many of them come in from Asia. And we all sort of profit from those big, large factories out in China and the competitive prices that they offer, et cetera, et cetera. But in the world of UK manufacturing, certainly in European manufacturing, that it's not a one-size-fits-all model.
But you can pretty much manufacture anything within that environment if somebody comes to you with any type of...
Yeah, I mean, we are a full-service contract manufacturer. So what we build tends to combine electrical, electronic, mechanical, pneumatic, hydraulic skill sets. I'm sure there are things out there that we can't build, and there'll be things out there that wouldn't be suitable for our workplace. But, you know, we have a factory now that encompasses over 200 people. We've got over 20 world-leading clients in different market sectors. We can turn our hands to pretty well most things. The way our business has developed over the last sort of 20 years, really, is going more from a controls and automation background to a full-service contract manufacturing partner with clients, particularly like Dean's business, those companies in sort of high-technology, disruptive areas where they don't just need a company to make something. They're looking for a company to partner with them, become an extension of their business, support them in design to manufacture, design for approval, design for cost, whatever that particular client needs. What we're looking for is those lifetime relationships with clients where we can add value to their business and they add value back to our business.
And it really does allow them to not worry about the manufacturing, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So if you're a startup, say, or a tech startup, and you want to create something, it takes a huge amount of the funding out of the way almost, does it?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, any business, especially when they're starting up, you know, invest in your own core competence. You know, Dean touched upon it earlier that their focus is on developing disruptive technology and innovating that technology and then ultimately bringing it into a product which you can scale at speed. And that's the area we work. Many companies don't want to make anything, that they're technology businesses, and manufacturing is almost an unnecessary evil. As long as they can find the right partner, because outsourcing is not without risk. If you select the wrong partner, bear in mind that's your IP, your technology, your product, your brand, your reputation. So, you know, selecting the right partners are absolutely key. And that's another reason, again, Dean touched upon it, you know, not necessarily racing off to a Far East LCG. Because you could have problems associated with IP and quality and distance and agility and responsiveness to change. So that's where, again, you know, UK or outsourcing partners that are close to home can add real value. And when you look at, I think now, total cost of manufacture, so the focus isn't just on lowest possible price, but people are looking at, you know, the total price of landing a product somewhere, allowing for distribution, logistics, etc. Mm-hmm. The UK is actually a highly competitive landscape. So there's absolutely no reason why in the right type of product, the right sort of volumes, the UK is as good a place as any. And better than most.
That's very interesting. I know Tony's touched on it, Dean, but from your point of view, what are the advantages that you give your clients as a result of being able to work with Tony?
Certainly relative to low-cost countries, we're a lot more confident with our IPR, and that's quite key for our clients, particularly our distributors, because they see our technology as a unique selling point in their marketplace. And protecting that IP with both patents and ensuring that it's not easily copied is quite important. The other thing is we're using that MAN network. So we've got IoT devices with CMAT, we've got product design with Grove, we've got production of certainly the bigger items and the more complex items with power panels. Having a platform of hardware, it does literally give us a platform. So we're not sort of just selling a vending solution anymore. We've got a platform of solutions. And we're very much focused on the return on investment for those solutions. So reducing the cost in the end user and reducing the cost for the supplier to actually physically supply that hardware with products that are managed in those solutions is really quite key.
It's interesting that you can sort of translate what Tony's doing into your own customer service.
Yeah, and the quality obviously is really key as well, because what we can't have, I mean, a lot of these solutions are in situ for over a decade. And, you know, they're by the sea, for example. We deal with big marine sites like Babcock, where there's several thousand people on site. So they're being used daily, very often 24 hours a day. They're by the seaside, so they're in a corrosive atmosphere. And they've got to be built well. They've got to last. Because the last thing we want is our support engineers visiting them every week, because that costs us money.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So you've basically got a new idea. So that tech that's been there for some time, something comes along, you want to update the technology. So you have an idea, or you see what's going on with the client. You see that there's something you could do slightly better that would really help your clients. You go to Tony. How fast can you move in terms of making changes and being agile in the market?
Product development itself can be quite a lengthy process, because what we do there is we manage convergent technologies. So, you know, if you look at what we do, we're managing software, firmware, client software, actually looking at things like IoT, NFC, Bluetooth, low energy. We combine a lot of technologies in what we do, and that process can be quite lengthy in terms of product development. But when it gets to Tony, the really key thing for us is being able to beta that technology quickly, make sure there's a good market fit. And if it doesn't fit, you need the agility to be able to change that quickly.
Right.
And that's something that we felt China couldn't deliver for us, whereas Tony's business and could do that. PP can do that for us. So we can, you know, if we need to feed back a change and get that changed within production, we can do that fairly quickly with PP.
And I mean, I suppose the English language thing is always an issue as well. I mean,
it can be, I think, yeah.
Yeah, because when you're dealing with very technical details, surely actually speaking to somebody who is on top of their English, because they are English, but you know what I'm saying.
We did at one point offshore our software to India, and it was very problematic, and we actually employ our own programmers now. So that's an example of that. We've never actually offshored manufacturing to anybody other than PP. So we outsourced to PP. So we've never offshored our manufacturing. So we've not hit that problem, but we certainly had that problem with our software. So I completely relate to that.
And how do you approach Tony, when Dean comes to you and says, I'd like to do this, how do you approach those sorts of problems?
I think it's necessarily a problem. I think the opportunity with Dean's business and others is when somebody comes to us with an idea, they've normally got a formulation of something, as Dean said, they've got a product development, they've got a concept. You could be in various stages of development. You take each case as an individual example. And what that needs, Dean's referred to beta testing, for example. So, you know, some clients would immediately be looking for, here's a concept, we've alpha tested it, we've done some work, we've got the concept, we need to do maybe a low volume production run, get that out to friendly clients to beta test it, get feedback from clients. Does it need anything else changing? Is it engineering design changes, design for manufacture, design for customer usability? So you take all that feedback from our clients and their customers. And then it's all about really speed, because often, you know, there's a window of opportunity.
Yeah, tell me about it.
And that's really important in technology, that if you don't get your technology accepted and enabled and deployed, there's often competing technologies. If they get their foot in the door, you're on the back foot to actually displace it. So again, a lot of our clients are looking for that. When you've got the go-go button, we're happy. It's really about scale, fast deployment, the marketing side of that product then, and really getting it out there quickly. So, I mean, we can generally speaking, you know, move as quickly as any other organization I know. So, you know, we've got a talented bunch of production engineers and production staff, and Dee mentioned supply chain management skills as well. When we get the green light, it's all go.
So the two of you are a bit like Thunderbirds then, really, aren't you?
I've been called many things, Bex. I think I've been called the Thunderbird before.
Does that make me Lady Penelope? I'm not sure.
There you go.
Why don't I have a Parker? That's what I'm
I think it's also worth mentioning that Tony, particularly on vending machines, manages the compliance piece for us for the UL approval and that type of thing and manage for us.
Right.
I mean, we have to get involved because we're still actually classed as the manufacturer, so we work together on it. A lot of that pressure is taken away.
It's an important point. As a business, we're fully UL compliant and UL approved, so we can design, build and certify a product for our customers for the Canadian US markets. So we work closely with Dean and the team to make sure the product's, you know, fully UL ready and fit for purpose and fully approved to deploy in North America.
You sound like a bit of a dream there, Tony.
Again, on many things, a dream is not one of them.
You've never been called that before.
Maybe a nightmare. Maybe a nightmare.
So, Dean, I mean, you've come up with, I mean, you invented all the kit and you've got quite an innovative mind, I think one might say. So what are the kind of things?
Mainly red wine and beaches.
Good combination.
Yeah.
That combination works well, I find. Yeah.
So when you've been innovating, can you give some examples of the particularly innovative things that you've done for Inventory and how you got Tony to help contribute to that innovation?
We've recently done an Internet of Things weight sensor bin for parts management at point of use for category C and B items. So that would manage typically things like fasteners and production items at point of use. We invented that, to be honest, a long time ago as a hardwired thing, even before the internet was really taken off. And then we reinvented it more recently, so it's completely wireless. So you can place a bin anywhere and it talks to a Bluetooth gateway. You can set it up with an app and it tells you the exact quantity in the bin in real time. So people within the organizations of the end user know exactly what inventory they've got on hand all of the time. And when it goes below a reorder point, it just automatically orders it on the appropriate supplier. So it's quite powerful technology in that it's remotely monitoring everything and just reordering as it's required. So there's no need for human intervention necessarily in terms of that process. In terms of power panels, PP, they manufacture that product for us. And we've had a number of iterations around firmware and the testing process has been changed quite a lot. And initially it was quite small quantities, but we're starting to build the quantities now. And I think it's going to be quite a big product for us. And I think that's something else that's worth noting. I mean, one thing that low cost countries want is they want volume very quickly. Mm. Sometimes as a small scaling business, that's very difficult to deliver. It can be quite a slow process and it does come, but as an example, we were making iBin scales in the hundreds to start with. Now they go orders on with PP in the thousands now. But that takes time and effort, you know, and a lot of marketing and a lot of traction with end users and distributors. When you've got something that's completely new, you don't actually know where the market fits right. You don't know whether the price is right. You don't know. There's a lot of things that you're managing there that actually haven't been done before. So there's quite a lot of uncertainty around it. And getting that right is quite tough, and working with PP helps us to get that right, I think.
No, I can see that. I can see how dependent actually you are on it. It's a really good relationship, isn't it? And you can see that you guys are quite good friends as well. So that's obviously because you've sort of invested so much energy.
You're part of the journey, aren't you, together? I think, you know, when you look for an outsourcing partner, you know, it's strategic by nature. And I think, you know, you have to develop a, you know, close work relationship, trust, like and trust the people that you're working with, because, you know, you're an essential part of that journey with them. They're an essential part of your business. So, yeah, it has to be very mutual.
Yeah, I mean, for example, cost is important because obviously if you haven't got the right price in the market, it's very difficult to sell things. But working together to get that price point right is quite key. You know, and that could be, that could mean some additional design for manufacture. It could mean negotiation. And, you know, obviously what PP are very good at is negotiating with their suppliers to get the pricing right, because they're obviously buying in volume for other manufacturing companies. There's a lot of advantages to the relationship in terms of that whole manufacturing process.
Yeah, and ultimately for your clients and the people that buy the equipment, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's quality, it's compliance, it's availability. It's no good having the best product if you can't get it quickly enough. And particularly when you're scaling, when you're a scaling business, that's really key. You know, if you're going from a few hundred to a few thousand very quickly, you need somebody to keep up. That's quite important, because otherwise you're not doing what you've set out to do.
Well, that's great. It's been fantastic talking to you both. And if anybody wants to get hold of you, Tony, where's the best place?
Okay. Well, the website is ppcanda.com. And my name is Tony Haig. Then contact me on LinkedIn. That's very easy. Or on tony.haig@ppcna.com.
Excellent. Excellent. And Dean, if people want to talk to you about your wine and your beaches.
I'd suggest they bring a bottle there. Well, we're at inventor-e.co.uk. My personal email address is dean.henry@inventor-e.co.uk. We're relatively easy to contact, and our other contact details are on the website.
That's brilliant, guys. I'm sure everybody's found that really, really useful and very interesting session. So thank you for coming.
Thank you, Becca. Thank you, Tony.
Thanks, both.
We hope you've enjoyed this Inventory podcast, and thank you for listening. The ideas expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and should not be taken as professional advice, as every business is different. If you would like to discuss your needs with Inventory, then please do call UK 0800 779 7214 or visit their website, inventor-e.co.uk.